Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
In November, beautiful location here right off Highway 70, Veterans Memorial Parkway. 3-day sale going on, including a number of things, including $3 off a batch of strawberries. I noticed that Casey brought out the fruit. She didn't even bother with fruits or vegetables with this crew. It must just be our appearance. Hollywood Casino Press Box. Martin Kilcoyne, Frank Cusimano on assignment. Brian Hoffman is here. Jim Huer is here. Cam Jansen will be here in the 12 o'clock hour. Tom Hart from ESPN and SEC Network talking a little football. I noticed at CBS Sports, which does a lot with college football, they had Mizzou's win total at around 6.5. So I haven't told Howard Richards yet, but I know Frank was low on the 9 or the 10. I've got him at 12-0 in case Howard's listening. 6.5.
You got time. If he tries to come down here and beat you up for it,
I've got time.
You got some leeway.
And also to work back my opinion a little bit.
Yes, exactly.
But 6.5 sounded really low. Florida, of course, finishing second by most projections in the SEC East. But tell me if I'm wrong. Don't we overrate Florida every year?
Yes.
Doesn't this happen
Florida
every year?
Florida and Tennessee are the same every year. The Tennessee people are always, we're going to do it, we're going to do it. I go, you guys haven't been relevant in over a decade. Just cool. Right. And Florida has had so many issues, changing coaches, no offense, since Urban Meyer left. They have been average at best.
And all that talent, I'm sure they have plenty of kids on the roster that could come into Mizzou and start right away. I'm sure they're loaded with talent, but it doesn't matter. I feel like that's a trap for SEC followers every year. But most of the things I looked at last night, and granted, it's just projections, but it's, of course, Georgia, which we agree they are the top dog, no pun intended, in the East. And then I think it's wide open, and Mizzou's got to beat Kentucky at some point. Haven't beaten the Wildcats since 2014. That's got to end.
Yeah, it's been, it used to be that was, oh, that's a win. It's not a given anymore. Stoops has built up the program to where they're respectable. And Missouri swing game usually is South Carolina. If you beat South Carolina, you have a really good year. South Carolina is a pretty decent program too right now. In fact, I think Muschamp has won more games in 3 years than anybody's ever won there. And that includes Spurrier's seasons. So it's kind of right after Georgia, it's kind of wide open. But I do like Missouri's opportunity here. There's a lot of buzz with them.
You got to love Steve Spurrier. He's at the SEC Media Days the other day, I guess now is his Florida ambassador role, whatever it was,
yeah.
Or SEC legend, whatever his role was. And Dave Matter tweeted out that the first thing Spurrier said, he pointed out that his defunct Orlando AAF team, remember the league that went under, he said technically they were declared the champions of the league. He wanted everybody to know that.
Are we sure Steve was invited, or did
he just showed up?
He probably just showed up.
He was available. He showed up. So we'll get to Tom Hart at about 11:30. We're also going to spend a little time with Andy Banker from Fox 2 and KPLR 11. Amazing story yesterday. I didn't know what he was working on, and I ran into him on the streets of downtown St. Louis. This is really random and weird.
Yeah.
But I was doing a story, TV story for Fox 2 yesterday with Bill DeWitt III in the new high-rise that's going up. And we've been wanting to do it. We wanted to do it during a baseball game. So you could be in one of the apartment units and kind of have an idea.
How'd it look?
What is it like? It was pretty cool. And the funny thing is we finished the interview and we walked down a hallway. And they've still got a lot of work to do. But you get the sense of where the walls are, where the kitchen would be. And we had just finished the interview. We're walking down a hallway, and we hear the fireworks go off. So he runs back, and we're looking out, and you can see that Coca-Cola Plaza in center field. There's actually a jumbo screen on the backside. So if you're outside the stadium or up high, you can actually see replays. And that's how we saw the Goldschmidt home run. We were running back.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, we're doing the story, and I'm leaving, but my photographer's got to stay to do post-game interviews. So now I'm kind of carless, but my wife was in Midtown. I said, can you give me a ride?
Of course.
I always need a ride, right?
Here we go.
So I always need a ride.
Martin needs a ride.
This is the old narrative where Strickland finally said, did you get a DUI? Are you not allowed to drive? Because I'd be getting picked up by my mom, the kids. But I left the photographer to go meet Zach to do interviews because I had to get back to the studio. And so I said, I'll get to Market. And I'll just walk a few blocks, and if you're coming down Market, I'll just keep going until I run into you. The further away from the stadium, the better for traffic. And I'm walking about 8th and Market, and I see Andy Banker and a photographer standing there. And they just look at me, and I said, don't worry, just a homeless guy wandering the streets. I'm like that mythical Brett Hull video from the middle, and I'm just walking down the middle of Market. And I said, Andy was on the phone, and I said to the photographer, Tony McClellan, what's the story? He said, you wouldn't believe it. And then I just kept walking. I got my ride, got back to the studio, and I didn't notice till later what the story was about, a purse snatching in Shiloh, and the family follows the purse snatcher with an app. I'll let him tell the story.
Wow.
We'll do that in just a little bit here. But first, let's do five for Frank. We do it in the 11 o'clock hour. It'll be five for Jimmy and Hoff right here, brought to you by Greenville.
Hot Topics. It's five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution. Just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, let's start with the road trip. Guys, number one, an 8-game trip. 4 with the Reds, 4 with the Pirates.
Oh, you know what it's going to be.
4-4?
Yes.
I'm going to be bullish. I'm going to say 5-3. I'm going to split in Cincinnati and take 3 of 4 in Pittsburgh.
Really?
I don't know why, but that's my gut. If you were betting, maybe we should have told Biff to get in on this action.
Yeah.
Just put his $8,000 on.
I'm curious about his bookie habits. If he's one bet can erase an
$8,000. I don't know how that works.
Debt.
Hey, what do I owe you? $8,000? Okay, I'll take Castillo to beat the Cards. Oh, fair. Sounds good. So what do you guys think? 8 games.
I'll go 5-3 because they're better than both teams. They should come out of a 500. But the reality is this team just – they take a step forward, and then they play a game like they did the other night where they lose it late. You win a game yesterday, you go, well, you thought you were going to lose. I'll go 5-3.
They'll go 4-4, and what's kind of crazy, I'm looking at how they've played in certain ballparks. Because of that series in Mexico City, this is their first trip to Cincy this year.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And we buried the lead with the commish, who always makes the Pittsburgh trip. That's his thing. He's not going next week. Derek is. But he said, keep in mind, there is a later trip to Pittsburgh this
year.
There's
always a later trip to Pittsburgh.
There's always a later commission that I will be on.
A hot Tyler O'Neill should have a field day at the Great
Cincinnati,
American Ballpark.
Yes.
Yeah.
So maybe they can get me 3 out of 4 there instead of in Pittsburgh. But I'm going to be bullish and go 5-3.
Okay.
All right, guys, why are the Rockies bad? They're in last place in the West. They're lower than the Padres, lower than the Giants, 46-50. The top three in their lineup, Charlie Blackmon, Trevor Story, Nolan Arenado, all hitting over 300. So I'm just going to assume it's pitching.
It's pitching.
But shouldn't the Rockies be better?
Yes, it's pitching. Their pitching, especially their bullpen, is dreadful, doesn't help. Kyle Freeland, who they kind of earmarked as their ace of the future, I believe had an outstanding wild card game against the Cubs at Wrigley last October. His ERA is north of 7. As we sit here on July 18th. Just a lot of pitching has gone wrong for them.
See, they should not have locked up Arenado. They should have let him come to St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
We could have traded them a pitcher for him.
Couple.
Yeah.
They're giving me Arenado. I'll give them a couple.
Yeah.
All right, you guys are Ernie Broglio.
Oh.
How many times did the phone ring and you just picked it up and said, I don't want to talk about the trade. I don't want to talk about the trade. How much did that wear on you?
I got to imagine that just stuck at his crawl forever. There is no getting away from that. You're involved in the game, and every time your name gets brought up in Chicago, it's a negative. And on the flip side, whenever you're mentioned in St. Louis, it's, yeah, we got Brock for that guy. That was a steal. I mean, there's no getting around that. And he
won 21 games.
Yes.
And he won 18 games.
Yes. It just,
pretty good pitcher.
Not fair, but. That is a reality. And I'm guessing he probably got calls, now in the sports radio business, I bet you he got at least a call a month. from somebody wanting to talk to him about it?
It's like Tony Mandarich and Ryan Leaf right around draft time in the NFL.
Yes.
Their publicist, their agent, or their home phone rings like, oh, God, there's a terrible call in baseball. Dankinger's home phone in Iowa rings. His wife's like, honey, they want to talk. Oh, God.
I guess the silver lining, because you bring up Ryan Leaf or Tony Mandarich. For Broglio, to my knowledge, none of it was self-inflicted, though.
Correct.
You were part of a trade, which happens in baseball a lot. The other guy succeeded, and you just got hurt. It wasn't like you did something stupid or you did something illegal or anything related to that. You didn't gamble with the mafia or anything like that, which another pitcher in the 60s did. It's just you just got hurt, and it happens to a lot of pitchers. And I think maybe that softens it a little
bit. You're not tormented necessarily.
No.
Like Buckner was at times tormented.
You know, Ryan Leaf probably looks back and thinks, I was an immature idiot and all the stupid crap I did. What if I had done a little bit better or was a little more mature for my age? How would things have turned out different? But for Ernie, arm just
gave out. Got traded for Lou Brock.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
You're right. I mean, it's not devastating. It's probably annoying more than anything.
Yeah.
It's just annoying.
Annoying.
Hey, dude, I won 70-plus games. I won 21. I led the National League in wins.
Are you available at 11:20 to talk about the trade?
What's this about?
No. Click.
Called Tony Mandarich right before the NFL draft. What do you want to talk about? Michigan State's upcoming season. Thought that would be. He did kind of have a little bit of a bounce back. Remember when he played with the Colts for a little bit?
He did.
I mean, still a tremendous bust. By the way, Ryan Leaf's doing ESPN college football.
Yes. I saw that.
He's come full circle.
If he's got himself straightened out, good for him, because he came from some far, far away places.
All right, you guys are not TJ Moe, but give me the honest answer. Will they beat Kentucky this year?
Yes.
It's in Kentucky.
They win that game.
Is this the year? I keep looking that up. 2014. I joked last year, if you don't beat Kentucky, you have to give up football. I realize they're a better program. I may have overstated it just a little bit.
Yeah, they'll beat Kentucky
this year.
This
is the year. They
do win this game.
I am excited about Kelly Bryant.
I'm cautiously optimistic because I think sometimes we
get a little excited.
Yeah,
yes.
Like, oh, my gosh, he's going to be – no, I don't think he's going to be – Kyler Murray, but he's going to be pretty good.
I did post the poll yesterday on
the
Twitter.
On my list of notes, at the top of 10, I said, ask Hoff Mizzou poll numbers.
So it was,
I voted.
Thank you. The question was, what would you prefer? You're a Mizzou football fan. Do you want 8-4, but the bowl ban is overturned by the NCAA, so you get to go to the Liberty Bowl or some other kind of close to New Year's Eve but still in December bowl game? Or 10-2, but the bowl game, or the bowl ban, rather, stands. So that's always the year of, man, what if they could have played in the Chick-fil-A Bowl or could have played in the Sugar Bowl or something like that? 806 votes, 63%, 10-2, bull band stance.
Which is the correct answer.
Yes.
I honestly think it is.
I was wondering how many people put a huge emphasis on the bowl game. That was my test.
But, I mean, 8 wins, you know that's getting you a Texas Bowl, Independence Bowl, one of those deals. If you go 10-2... I'm Barry Odom. I'm shopping that around. I'm saying, hey, we went 10-2. Do you see who we beat along the way? You can sell that better than saying, hey, we were a bowl team with 8 wins.
I'll take the 10 wins, yes.
And I think the ride for fans, it would be disappointing in December, have nothing to look forward to, but that 10-2 ride would be pretty fun to be on.
How many bowl games, even bowl wins, do you really remember in the long term?
I remember that Alamo Bowl. I remember the Cotton Bowl. Like when they were just getting going with Pinkel, 07, 08, I remember those pretty well. And then I think they lost a few in a row.
See, like I remember the devastating loss to Navy in the Texas Bowl where they just couldn't stop the run game they had. I maybe remember the losses
more than the wins. I actually do remember bowl games a fair amount because it was Texas Bowl in 2009.
Cotton Bowl was pretty cool.
That was fun.
When they beat Arkansas.
McFadden and Arkansas, pretty good team.
And then the year they beat was Oklahoma State.
Yes.
Late. That was a great
one of the big years where they're in the SEC title game.
Yep.
Did Michael Sam force it or scoop it? Remember they had the
scoop and score.
Forced it.
Yeah, he forced it.
And then the Denver kid, Ray.
Yep,
Shane Ray.
Scooped
Ray.
And scored, yep.
Gus Johnson on the call.
All right, number 5, guys. We've found the best marketer in America.
Who?
A young man.
Iggy?
Other than Iggy. Clock tied for first. We found this young man.
Quick recovery.
He needs to be hired by a big-time company tomorrow. He's a young kid. I think he's 10 years old in Utah. And he was holding up a sign that said, cold beer for sale.
and people called the police and said, we got a kid over here, he's selling beer. He was selling root beer, but he used the sign. But he used the sign to get people to stop. Oh, you got ice cold beer for sale? And then he was selling root beer, but the police had to show up a couple times because they thought he was selling beer. But in fact, it was a genius move.
That's way smart.
Go.
Yeah.
Super move by him.
Randy Markell. Who's this kid? What's he selling, beer? Get him on the payroll. Yeah. Jimmy, hire him tomorrow. Let's get him hired. All right, five for Frank / Hoff / Hewer. Brought to you every day by Greenville University. We're live at the Schnucks in Warrenton. Beautiful location here, just opened in November. Joined now by Fox 2, KPLR's Andy Banker, who I mentioned I saw on the streets of downtown St. Louis yesterday. He was busy on the phone. I was just rambling, wandering by, looking for a ride. This story, and I apologize, at the time, I asked your photographer, Tony, I said, what's the story? He said, you wouldn't believe it if I told you. So with that as the foray, Andy, take it from there. Tell us what your story was last night.
Well, first, when Martin walked by, he's all frazzled after the ball game. We thought you were going to ask us for like $5.
Hey man, I was sweat because we did the story in that
I'm
apartment a tower.
I'm out of gas.
I had a little sign. We'll take food to do the five. Get me back to the studio.
Once cold beer. That's what his sign said.
Well, I was dripping in sweat. It was cold beer.
So, this is crazy. I'm going into the Cardinal game yesterday afternoon. A lot of people walked by this massive police scene. And nobody knew about it. I happened to be downtown. A friend of mine tipped me to it. We run down to see what we can find out. I was told, this will kind of tell you where we go and how we verify information before we throw it on the air. But I was told someone held up a food truck right down by Spire at 8th and Market. So we run down there. And sure enough, there's a food truck sitting there. The guy who owns the food truck is sitting there getting ready to close up for the day. His name is Brian Scott. It was Doggy Mac's food truck. And I say, hey, are you all right? What happened? I heard you got held up. He just started laughing. He goes, I got held up. Where'd you hear that? So that was not the story, but he shot some video of this massive police scene. I mean, they had Market Street closed. There must have been a dozen police cruisers at least, and they were cops everywhere. I was like, what happened? Here's the story. It started off in Shiloh, Illinois, which is between O'Fallon and Belleville. And a woman over there gets her purse stolen. She's with her daughter. They're on the side of the road. I don't really know the details on that end of it. But someone on the side of the road near Whiteside School, if people in Illinois will know where that is, someone steals the mom's purse. The thief doesn't realize that the daughter's cell phone is in the purse. So mom doesn't just call police. She goes and picks up her father, who I guess is a fairly bad hombre. And they start tracking the stolen iPhone with the Find My iPhone app. So they start chasing the guy. Chase may be a stretch. They at least follow the guy. And as they're following the guy, they start calling police. He crosses into the river. He gets to 8th and Market in downtown St. Louis. And the mother who had her purse stolen, her father, so I guess you'd either call him the dad or the grandpa of the youngest girl involved, he cuts the guy off, gives him no way forward in traffic, gets out, and is ready to kick the guy's butt. And that's when the cops move in and tackle the guy and put him in handcuffs. And they arrest their purse snatcher in downtown St. Louis. I mean, I talked to I don't know how many people who are going to the Cardinals game thinking, oh, my God, there was a shooting. Is it okay to walk through here? I mean, you know, they were scared to death. But that's what it turned out to be.
And did the family, you know, that did the pursuing, we like you said, not chase, but they obviously located and found the purse snatcher, cuts him off in traffic. Did the cops at first think, well, what are these guys? I mean, I just wonder the optics on that, if they thought they were the bad guys before they even knew what the hell was going on.
I know. I don't know how they figured it out. But, you know, I heard this story and police verified every word of it. They were like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. There may have been some relationship between the guy who took the purse. Like, they may have known the guy who took the purse. I'm not sure. Shiloh police told me it may have rooted from a domestic situation of some kind.
But a reminder, you steal a purse, there might be a phone in it, you might get caught. Andy's lesson of the day, don't steal a purse.
Yes, and that report is brought to you by Doggy Mac Food Truck at Ethan Market.
You know, your job is not unlike Mike Shannon's, because he always says, and even the other night on his 80th birthday, he said, the thing I love about my job is I never know what I'm going to see happen. I'd have to think that was a first for you.
It was crazy. And you know what, Marty? I'm totally on it. My assignment for the day was 100% something different. And just someone who I know in passing says, man, someone held up a food truck. I was like, what? And I happened to be, you know, about 10 blocks away. I was like, we got to go look at that.
Well, and you hate to say it, but it's plausible, too, right? You're like, hey,
oh, yeah, it is.
Unfortunately,
it's probably a stupid idea to hold up a food truck in downtown St. Louis, because I don't think there's really a good way out of that. You're going to have a tough time getting away. Just like if you steal a purse, you probably shouldn't go driving into downtown St. Louis.
Right. It's a little congested. Again, Andy's theft tips brought to you by, if you steal a purse, don't go downtown while there's a ball game about to take place.
Yeah, you know, it's lunchtime, and you know, thousands of people were walking by this police scene. I mean, 8th and Market, think how many people walked by there going to the ballpark.
And so to our understanding, the family apprehended the thief, or did they just kind of surround him until the cops got there?
Yeah, well, the grandpa, if you will, I was told, took a swing at the guy. And they were in phone contact with police, and I think they said, hey, we got him cornered. And then the guy got out of the car and approached the suspect, took a swing at him, and police were close enough that at that point they moved in and grabbed the suspect.
Wow, great story. We saw it last night, Fox 2 and KPLR 11. Andy, of course, hosts the news from 7 to 8 on Channel 11. Our producer, Brian, said, remember the time the Billikens basketball, the bus driver, was drunk and left. I think they were up at St. Bonaventure, maybe.
Yeah, they're out east.
And they went to get on the bus, and the bus driver was drunk and left. But one of the players had a phone, or Travis Ford's phone
like
was
phone
on the bus.
A phone or an iPad or something in a backpack, and that's how they tracked him down.
And they used that to track down the drunk bus driver to eventually get them back home. Gosh, if only Majerus had been alive to tell that story. It does.
Yeah, you know what? You can't turn it off either. If you don't have the password or you can't get into that phone, there's no way to turn it off. You'd probably run it over and it would still. I guess you got to chuck it. Maybe that's your only way out. I don't know. We don't need crime tips, do we?
No.
What was really funny, though, Martin, is the victims of this crime after the they're all fine, right? And apparently they got the purse back and everything's good, because right after the crime, they went over to Doggy Mac's food truck and had lunch.
Well, they got their purse back. They're able to have lunch.
Isn't that awesome?
Andy, great story. Thanks for checking in.
All right. See you guys.
All right, Andy Banker, Fox 2, KPLR 11. Pretty crazy story there. And I love Grandpa taking a swing at the guy.
About that.
Got Chuck Charles Bronson in downtown St. Louis. All right, quick break here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. We'll talk some SEC football with Tom Hart when we come back live from the Schnooks in Warrenton.